Thank you. As human beings, we tend to divide things into the old and the new, the past and the present. We consider things as being over or things that are yet to come. And then we form opinions and concepts, judging in a certain way. Some of us lament over the good old days, indicating we consider them better than the ones that we are experiencing now. But then there are the ones who look ahead, announcing the best is yet to come. And then we assign certain characteristics and traits to the one making the determination. That one who laments over the past, he seems to be stuck in place, not open to new ideas or even a fresh approach to life. We might call his attitude pessimistic. The one declaring the best is yet to come, we call him optimistic. We consider this attitude to be open and receptive, one willing to be moved into new places of acceptance and belief. Now, both responses, they represent a view of life. Our personal view is our responsibility. It is up to us who develops and cultivates how it is we think and consider, ponder, and decide. And I have often wondered about our ability to change these traits and characteristics that seem so ingrained in our nature. Is it really possible to leave that location called stuck in place and enter into new acceptance and belief? And if so, how would we do it and where would we do it? Well, the first question for us to answer is, do we really want to make the move? Do we really want to leave our concepts and our opinions? I have noticed that many of us are content to stay right where we are. Might not always like it, might not like what we see, but it's familiar. We know what to expect. And there are no surprises. And we seem to find pleasure in repeating those old refrains that appear to work to some degree. Now, I admit that some of what keeps us stuck in place is fear. In order to step out into new horizons, we must leave behind whatever it is that keeps us stuck in the old place. Now, stepping out into the unknown, well, it can be rather scary, and many of us seek to avoid it at all costs. But life is meant to be full and abundant. When we refuse to step outside our comfort zone, we limit ourselves to the space of our own backyard, and that is as far as we are willing to go. Personally, I think it is best if we can meet life with an attitude that allows for expression in whatever form is necessary at that particular moment. Sometimes we like what we see, and other times we do not. We judge according to a personal standard that we have put in place, one not necessarily used by others. Now, when we look back over the past times, we do acknowledge that there are some memorable and amazing things that belong to what we call the good old days. Now, there's nothing wrong with recalling the pleasant events of times past and remembering the pleasures that they brought. This does not take away from what belongs to today. Would we really want to do what we did? You know, go back to those horse and buggies, or that time of gas lamps and wood stoves? We cannot deny the value of the computer, the smartphone, and the instant delivery of just about anything. You see, the thing is this. Life marches on in wonderful ways, and the place of acceptance is in us. I believe that we came into this world at this particular time to experience everything that belongs to this particular time. We came to experience its joy and sorrow, to acquire and to let go, a time to work and a time to play. I don't think it's necessary to label what made up those earlier times as old and over. Calling what arrived at the later times new and declaring that the best is yet to come. I think they're both necessary to our understanding about life. And each is accepted for its purpose and intent. The challenge for us is to release what keeps us clinging to the earlier times so that we may make room for what belongs to today. Each is simply what is essential at that time. Transitioning from the earlier experience to the one of today, well, it requires a different attitude, one that is open to a fresh approach to life. Really, it's all about attitude. Attitude is established in consciousness. The Bible tells us of the need to put off the old man. Now, I consider this to mean to release the attitude that makes up the old way of thinking. And then we are told to be reborn to spirit. The old man represents the state of consciousness that considers its identity to be the one of flesh and blood, that is its reality. This attitude refuses to look beyond the material form, bearing witness to the testimony of the five senses, stuck in a false sense of reality. Now, to be reborn is to see in a different way. And when we are reborn to spirit, it means that we are now looking with the eye of the spiritual self, that one that belongs to eternal life. Putting on a new man is taking on a new attitude about life. Now, when we do this, it does not mean that we merge that old man into the new one. No, the Bible is quite clear. Put off the old man. Get rid of him. The new being emerges as an empty vessel, waiting to be filled with the attitude that is born to spirit. But where exactly do we become empty? You know, as human beings, we really do not like the idea of being empty. We really don't. In the past, we may have pulled out our wallets and found them empty. And we did not like the feeling that came with this discovery. When we say that our stomachs are empty, well, it usually means that we are hungry. And we immediately go in search of food. Because, you see, the feeling of hunger is not a pleasant one. When you were out there driving on the Beltway, and you notice that your gas tank registers empty, this is not a good feeling, and you are not sure that it will end well. As human beings, we consider the condition called empty to be a negative one. And yet, the Bible tells us to empty ourselves, to become an empty vessel. So what do we do? A particular attitude is assigned to the old man. Another is given to the new man. Attitude is developed, cultivated, and established in consciousness. our individual consciousness. Any change in attitude takes place in us. And it is in this place that we put off the old man and are reborn to spirit. We release those old concepts that cluttered our awareness with confused thoughts, misguided ideals. We become empty when we give no thought. We cannot add spirituality to a consciousness already full of materiality. We become empty when we become still and say, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." Our consciousness must be empty of that little self before the indwelling presence may announce itself as the Christ of our being. I cannot merge the personality called Janet with the celestial being called Christ. Again, the Bible is quite clear. There are celestial bodies, those of spirit, and terrestrial ones, those of the flesh. And they do not exist in the presence of each other. We become the empty vessel because it is God who does the filling. Now, when we attempt to fill ourselves using the work of thought, we simply pile on to what we have previously learned. And sometimes we don't even bother to sift through the information to discover if it is correct or not. Now, breaking us of the habit of giving thought, it may be painful at first. When we operated as that old man, we cherished our ability to think and reason on our own, and then we depended on these faculties for many things, to make our decisions and our determinations. And then we depended on our personality and our charm to get us into places and to get us out of conditions we no longer wanted. When we become the empty vessel, we may be required to give up our previous moral sense of life, our misplaced values and erroneous concepts of ethics and standards. You see, when we lived as that old man, well, we entertained principles established by that old man. While they may have seemed reasonable, appropriate at the time, we now admit that they were slanted in a particular way, only to be amended at a future date. When we purge us of the little self, we may discover that we lose a few friends along the way. There may even be disagreements among families and neighbors. Ancient mystics and modern metaphysicians tell us that our consciousness is our house. It is where we live. And when we rid ourselves of the contents placed by the old man, it is said that we are cleaning house. That phrase, swept clean, describes perfectly what happens when we purge us of the personal self. When we clean our material house, you know, the one where we place our physical body, we scrub and we mop, stirring up dust that causes us to cough and to sneeze, meaning that there may be a physical reaction to our activity of cleaning house, especially if we haven't done so in a little while. I believe that this happens when we empty our consciousness of what belongs to the old man. When we clean this house, there may be a physical reaction. We may stir up items from our subconscious that have been buried for a very long time. These are qualities, traits, and conditions that may have been dormant for quite a while. We may have stashed them there many years ago, forgetting they even existed. But then when we clean house, everything must go. These things are brought to the surface, reminding us of what we were going through when we stored them there in the first place. And yes, it might be painful as we relive the event. But this is what purging is all about. And the wonderful thing is that when it is over, it is over. The act of purging is how we become an empty vessel. Our spiritual goal is not to develop an individual who does not have problems, but rather to die to the self who thinks it has to do something with them. The way to attainment is to go beyond the best qualities known to humanhood and to be reborn to the perfected self that already exists. Now, this means going beyond the human concept of health to the reality of wholeness. It means going beyond the highest good known to the old man, accepting that God alone is good. Yes, we really do need to keep a clean house. An empty vessel is one that has gone beyond the demonstration of a healthy, happy, prosperous humanhood. It has gone beyond the highest and noblest thought entertained by that old man. An empty vessel is one reborn to spirit, saying, Lord, fill me with the clarity of how it was back in the beginning, that time when I lived in your house, how it was before I left you to enter into this country and take on the form of the old man. Let us remember that the act of purging means that we are no longer thinking as that old man. We are no longer trying to exchange physical discord for physical harmony. Nor are we trying to fill ourselves with what we think God's kingdom might be. We did not devote ourselves to the time of study and practice necessary to become an empty vessel, only to attempt to fill it ourselves. From the moment that we pick up a book of truth, we understood the need to transfer power we've given to the outer, to the power that belongs to inner being. It is a gradual process. The message is that we die daily to that old man. Each day, every day, we drop some erroneous idea or concept that we had previously entertained about God, about life, and about us. It really is the building of a new consciousness, and it is not accomplished overnight. Some of us have been sitting in these pews for a very long time. And yet there are occasions when we notice that we are still acting very much like that old man. And we try to defend ourselves, arguing that we have done the best we can. We've read all of those books that we found in the church bookstore, taken all those classes that the church had to offer, and then we attend that service on a Sunday morning. What else could we possibly do? And to this I would say, that's wonderful, but what have we done with it? Have we simply been taking up space in the pews and the classrooms all of this time? Are we still trying to merge truth with beliefs occurred and acquired in the early years, when those times when we called ourselves Lutherans, Catholics, or Baptists? Are there still a few corners in our house of consciousness that have not yet been swept clean? So what are we clinging to? What do we hold dear? Putting off the old man is really putting off the old consciousness. And we do this in bits and pieces. I think that rather than try to defend all of the things that we think we have done correctly, perhaps we should get out our brooms and our mops and do a little more cleaning. By this I mean, could we spend a little more time in meditation? When we pull out that book of truth, let us take it to our inner closet and then ask the indwelling presence to interpret the message. When revelation is given within, realization is the reward. And we would know how well we are doing. We may meet a friend and he says, "It's a very wintry day." We may catch cold or, heaven forbid, pneumonia. And our response is, "Why would I do that? I've not given power to climate or to those germs. Why would you say that?" But then you realize, that is the consciousness of the old man speaking. And at that moment, you see how alien it is for you to even think in this way. Now, there may still be a few more pockets of understanding for you to work on, but when it comes to climate and germs, you have a clean house. You will notice how well you are doing when you hear the news of the day and the gossip of the neighbors. You will notice your reaction to what you read, to what you think and say. We speak of being the empty vessel, inviting God to fill us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But I consider this the last step of the process. Before I can become empty, I must experience dying to that old man, to the old consciousness of acceptance and belief. I must be reborn to spirit, to take on a new consciousness, the one of reality. I must transfer power from the outer to the inner. The old man lives in a divided house. The new man lives in the kingdom of God. This morning, I encourage you to stop lamenting over something you think you have lost or placing bets on that suggestion that the best is yet to come. Let us remember that right now is the appointed time. Right now, God is in this place. And right now is the perfected time, and it is ours. We have the opportunity to turn within and accept the new revelation. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we take a few minutes to make the lesson practical. In the stillness, we release our thoughts and we empty ourselves of personal judgment and opinion. The receptive attitude is, "Speak, Lord. It's just us. Nothing to disturb our private moment." And then we listen. "Be not afraid. I am here. Do not worry or fret. I will never leave you. Do not judge by appearance. The world is but a fleeting time of experience. I am not found in the storm or the wind, but in the soul of man." Go to the quiet place with an open heart. "Fill me, O Lord, guide my words and my deeds so that you may do your work. Not my will but thine be done is my earnest prayer." Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.